Alleluia. The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. As Jesus continued his journey to Jerusalem, he traveled through Samaria and Galilee. As he was entering a village, 10 lepers met him. They stood at a distance and raised their voice, saying, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." And as they were going, they were cleansed. One of them, realizing he had been healed, returned, glorifying God with a loud voice. He fell at the feet of Jesus and thanked him. He was a Samaritan. Jesus said in reply, "10 were cleansed, were they not? Where are the other 9? Has no one but this foreigner returned to give thanks to God?" Then he said to him, "Stand up and go. Your faith has saved you." The Gospel of the Lord. In all circumstances, give thanks. This is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Those words from the Gospel verse today teach us something very important about our life, that in every circumstance, God's will, our vocation, is gratitude. In the middle of Mass, in the heart of it, at funerals and weddings, on rainy days and sunny days, on days of war and insurrection, and on days of liberation from war, there's this dialogue. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and just. It is truly right and just, our duty and our salvation, always and everywhere, to give God thanks and praise. Our duty, because God deserves it, but also our salvation, that our salvation comes through the openness that happens by means of gratitude. How grateful all 10 lepers should have been. Leprosy was the worst disease you could get. It was considered even a worse disease than death. Hansen's would eat away your flesh and your bone. If that wasn't painful enough, then there was the terrible stench. And if that wasn't disgusting enough, you had the ostracism. A leper had to separate from the entire community. Whenever they needed to come close to anybody else, they needed to keep a distance of 50 feet and just keep shouting out, "Unclean, unclean, unclean." They couldn't go to the well. They couldn't go to the market. Most importantly, they couldn't go to the temple. They were cut off from their family. They were cut off from civilization. They were cut off, even in some sense, from the worship of God. And in some ways, perhaps even most pitiable, their only company were other pitiable lepers whose lives were not good, who obviously, beyond their physical issues, had spiritual and psychological issues because of the incredible trauma that would attend this disease. And so with their voices well-trained, even though many of their lips were missing, to cry out, "Unclean, unclean," shout it out to Jesus as he was passing by, "Son of David, have pity on us." And Jesus interacted with them, whereas many others would be afraid. He interacted, and he wanted to help them grow by faith. In another part of the gospel, Jesus reached out and touched the leper. Here, he gave a command of faith. "Go show yourselves to the priests." The priests at the time were considered the most intelligent people, and so they would have had, it was presumed, the best sense of medicine as well as any other discipline. And the Mosaic law had prescribed that it was the priest who would be able to verify that a leper was cured and capable of reintegration in the community. For Jesus to say, "Go show yourselves to the priests," when they were able to feel and see no cure, was to challenge their faith. And all 10 went off. And while they were walking, as we know, they were cured. This is old Latin aphorism, which is so important for us in so many applications. Salva ambulando. That he's saved, he's helped, he's healed as he's journeying. The Lord's constantly doing this in the gospel. "Son of David, have mercy on me," Bartimaeus shouts from the crowd. Jesus could have easily walked straight over to Bartimaeus and touched him right there. But he says, "Call him." So this blind man's got to leave his cloak behind and go and try to find Jesus. When everybody was bringing their sick so that Jesus would be able to cure them, Jesus could have gone right out into the intersection to make it easy for everybody. Instead, it tells us he climbed the mountain so that people would have to bring the stretchers up the mountain. When the blind man at the sea, or the crippled, excuse me, at the, well, blind man, crippled, well, Bethesda and the five porticos, and both of the miracles, Jesus had an act of faith. "Go wash in the pool of Siloam." Cured as they were journeying, because the journey was far more than physical. The journey was an interior pilgrimage of faith. And that's when they were cured. So there's incredible drama there. But the whole scene was used by Jesus to illustrate a far more important point. Only one returned out of 10. And Jesus noted that that one was a Samaritan. Presumably the other 9 were Jews. Why is race an issue? Because the Jews were raised on thanksgiving to God. "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever," etc. They were constantly praying through the psalm. Psalm 136 is one long litany of thanksgiving, but it's not the only one. All the psalms of ascent that they would say as they're going up to the temple had this thanksgiving as their principal point. The Jews were trained in thanksgiving. And yet, when they received an unbelievable miracle, their leprosy was cured, their skin was returned to childlikeness, off they went. Maybe they were just super obedient. Maybe they wanted to show themselves to the priest first. Come on. Maybe they thought that the master was too busy. Maybe they came up with every other excuse. But they just didn't return to thank God. But it was this one person, and we see here what the Lord had in store. A far greater miracle than the miracle of the cure of leprosy. Jesus always worked his physical miracles as a prelude. Pope Francis likes to say everything Jesus did, his teaching, his curing, his exorcisms, was a sign of something greater that he was doing, reconciling the whole world to the Father in himself. It was salvation by faith. And so when this man came back with thanksgiving and dropped down at Jesus' feet, just simply to say thank you, you can only imagine how grateful this man was. Jesus gave him that second and far more important gift. Stand up and go. Your faith has saved you. Your faith opened you up to the salvation I had brought into the world. What an incredible thing. It's why, sisters, often, as you know, I give penances of thanksgiving. Because the Lord has even greater gifts constantly in store than the gift of cleansing our soul back to its baptismal purity. But in order to be open to those greater gifts, we need to be grateful. And many of us are not. You know, theoretically we're grateful. We know we should thank God for everything. But at a day-to-day level, so many of us can murmur worse than the Jews in the desert. We can obsess about what we don't have rather than be grateful for what we do. And that's why it's so important that we always begin our prayer with praise and thanksgiving to the Lord for how lovable He is in Himself and how grateful we are for all the ways that He showers on us our love. We should be grateful that almost every part of our body functions. We shouldn't take any of this for granted. We should be grateful that we got up and we have another day. We should be grateful even for the crosses, because the crosses are gifts precisely to conform us more to Him. It is our duty and our salvation always and everywhere, in all circumstances, to give God thanks. Today in the first reading, we see a reason for which we should never cease this gratitude. St. Paul writes to Titus, "We ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, deluded, slaves to various desires, pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful ourselves and hating one another." That's who we were. But, it's one of the most consequential buts in the New Testament. When the kindness and generous love of God our Savior appeared in the flesh in Jesus, not because of any righteous deeds we had done, but because of His mercy, He saved us through the bath of rebirth and the renewal of the Holy Spirit, which He richly poured out on us through Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by His grace and become heirs and hope of eternal life. What a long Pauline run-on sentence. Do you know when we hear this every year? Seeing how close you pay attention to liturgy. This is the anchor for a very important Mass during the year. Christmas. This is the epistle for Mass at dawn on Christmas. At the same time, we are there as the shepherds arrive in Bethlehem. This is the reading, because the kindness and generous of God our Savior did appear wrapped in swaddling clothes. And not because of anything we deserved, but because of His mercy. It's incredible. That's why those who ponder and seek to live out the incarnation of the Lord, you do as sisters of life, need to be marked in a particular way by this gratitude, constant gratitude, because it's the gratitude that will transform others who think that their lives are just one big, insoluble problem after another, for which they'll take the diabolical temptation to eliminate the problems, rather than seeing even in the problems a motive for gratitude because it can bring us far more into a relationship with the Lord who gives us all. The greatest means by which God has established for us to thank Him is the Eucharistein of the Church, literally the prayer of thanksgiving. There are two parts of Mass that I would eventually, sometime in my life, want to preach a retreat on, because I think they're so significant and they're often overlooked. The first is to dare to pray the Our Father. Why we need courage to pray the Our Father, and the type of courage we need. But the second, as supper was ended, he took the chalice and once more giving you thanks, he said the blessing, etc. As Jesus was about to shed his blood, as he was about to imbibe the cup of suffering that Isaiah prophesied, Jesus gave thanks. Today, as we do and have the incredible privilege every day for which we should never cease thanking God, we have a chance to join Jesus' thanksgiving to the Father. Praise be Jesus Christ.